Hi, I'm Maggie Brennan, music director here at WCBE. We're excited to announce our new web exclusive, Live from Studio A Replay, where you can listen to some of our best Studio A sessions. We're dedicated to bringing you great music from around the world and from right here in Central Ohio. And that type of extraordinary service is only possible with your support. So please, consider making a donation of any amount by clicking the red donate button at the top of the page and keep the music going. And we thank you for your support.
We're so excited to have Jeb Loy Nichols in our studios today to play live for us. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. He's got the new CD called the Jeb Loy Nichols Special.
That's it.
And we'll lots to talk about. It's been a while since you were here. Mm. I believe I was an intern, and that's been a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And but we're excited to have you here to talk about art, music, and your books, all that good stuff.
Right.
And are you going to play something old or something new to start us off with?
To start with. It's a little old and a little new, both. It's new to me. It's a song called Hard Times, which is off the new record, but it's an old reggae song actually that I've written new lyrics for. So it's a little old, little new.
All right,
something
great.
Borrowed, something blue. Wanna know about these hard times? Got no wood for the fire, nothing for the pot. I have all, and I have less, have not. We're living in hard times, living in hard times, we're living in hard times, living in hard times. Now, do you really wanna know? Really wanna know about these hard times? I'm living out here where the sun never shines, working every day the hard country grind. I'm living in hard times, living in hard times. I'm living in hard times, hard times. Now you call them criminals and you call them thieves. Say they're rotten from the root to the leaf, but they're just living the way that you told them to, buying all of the stuff that you sold them. Who are you to be so carefree with the truth after all the harm you've done? What's the crime of robbing a bank compared to the crime of owning one? So listen up, all you good people. Money, money, money is the root of all evil. We're living in hard. Hard times. We're living in hard times. Living in hard times. Living, 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 living. Living in hard times. Living in hard times. We're just surviving. Surviving every day. Living in hard times. Hard times.
Beautiful. Jeb Loy Nichols live from Studio A with Hard Times. It's hard to know where to start here today. if we want to go back to the Columbus connections from, you know, 2 decades ago or not. Is that where it started with you?
Definitely where it started with me, yeah. I mean, I really had no intention at all of pursuing the madness that's a career in music. I was dragged into it by Dan Dow, who has Ochre Records, and He'd heard some demos that I just had messing around cut with a friend Dave Schramm in New York, and he just called me in London out of the blue and asked me if I wanted to make a record, and I foolishly agreed, and that set me on the current road to disappointment and penury and poverty that I. I've been on ever since.
But you've loved it all along.
I've loved it, of course. I've loved it. Yeah. No, it's good. I just think that it's a very difficult business to be in if you're not interested in making money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I made the first records on Okra, and I loved them, and I think they're still some of the best records I've ever made. But, you know, we there was never intention. It wasn't a careerist, you know, right. path for me at all. You know, I wasn't interested in a life as a musician, and I'm still not. You know, I'm interested in a life in the world, but I'm not particularly interested in a life as a musician.
But, you know, being forced into it back then, before that, you know, because you have your books and you have your art, too. The prints that you do are amazing. And was that one of the paths that you think would have been chosen?
Yeah, I think.
And it still is, I guess.
Yeah, as a slightly kind of naive, you know, 17, 18-year-old, when I arrived in New York, I thought, you know, I would be I'd pursue art for the rest of my life, you know, that I'd be a printmaker or a painter. And I did pursue that for a long time until, you know, I began to get pulled away from the path of righteousness into the path of darkness by music. But, you know, so, but I still, you know, over the last 10 years, I've made more money, certainly in terms of my, you know, my career path in poverty from art than I have from music.
You know? But there's such a high demand for it, you know, at least where we are here in this city, you know. So
Well, it's been very nice. Yeah, no, it's a good. You know, I just think that it's for me, it's nice to have two or three different options, to, you know, different careers to fail in, and in order to, you know, have one bit of money that keeps my head above water.
Now, doing the writing for the books and the writing for your songs and and the prints, the art that you do, do they all kind of coincide when you're doing one or the other? Are they completely separate?
No. They're very much not separate. I mean, they're very much bits and pieces of each other. I mean, I think that, you know, there's ways to talk about certain things, you know, you know, that's fortunate for me that I have different ways of talking about, you know, different things. You know, like a good example is I did a song on my second solo record called Say Goodbye to Christopher. And that was about a friend and his suicide. And I had tried actually to do a series of prints about him. And it just wasn't working. And, you know, I kind of just put it to the back of my mind. But I had written on these prints, Say Goodbye to Christopher. Mm-hmm. And then it came out as the song, and it seemed to work much better in that way. So, you know, that it's just lucky that I'm able to employ two different things.
When lyrics are coming to you, do you, like in your journal or whatever you write on, you know, are there pictures? Do you doodle and, like, do things come to you? Is that something that happens with you?
I don't actually doodle. I don't keep notebooks of art particularly. I keep art in language. You know, I keep books of language and thoughts and things and thoughts of what I might do in terms of painting or printmaking. But I don't actually do a lot of sketching because I like to kind of keep it as fresh as possible when the time comes to actually do a new woodblock or lino cut. So I don't do a lot of sketching.
So tonight at Lindsay Gallery in the exhibit that's going to be there, what will people see?
Well, they will see a sensational display.
Of course.
mostly woodcuts and lino cuts. And about half of them are portraits. Mm-hmm. I got a few years ago, I was convinced by someone to abandon. I live in Wales, in a very rural part of Wales. And some friends of mine are in a band called Super Furry Animals. And they asked me to do an exhibition of hip-hop artists that when I lived in New York, that we used to go to this place called The Ghost Yard, where Afrika Bambaataa used to DJ. And so I did an exhibition called The Ghost Yard, which was hip-hop portraits. And then from there, a jazz club asked me to do a series of jazz portraits. So I got to do, you know, kind of the people that I listen to the most and that I love the most. So Eric Dolphy and Archie Shepp and Sun Ra and people like that. And then Ricky Barnes, who's another Okra alumni, he has got a restaurant here in Columbus, a very fantastic restaurant where Jerry and I ate last night. It was brilliant. But I don't know about advertising, so I'm probably not allowed to do that. But he asked me to do some portraits for his cafe last year. And that's how I got in touch with Duff Lindsay Gallery. Yeah. So, you know, these kind of, you know, circles happen.
Circle.
It's good. Yeah. So tonight, a very long-winded answer to a nice short question was lots of portraits and then some words as well, but all woodcuts.
Great. And you mentioned New York a couple times in this segment. And, you know, you born in Wyoming,
yeah.
And you traveled around a bit and had your stays in certain areas, New York being one of them, and I read where, you know, you kind of felt like an oddball in the world, or I'm not sure if that was the word, but you felt more in place for a while in New York City.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I you know, I was 17 when I got to New York, and I think if you're a certain kind, obviously not all 17-year-olds, but a certain kind of 17-year-old, of which I was very much one, who felt very, you know, outside the mainstream in high school. You know, you get to New York at the age of 17, you just think, damn, you know, I just died and gone to heaven. Because this is, you know, there's a whole, you know, there's 26 million weirdos rather than just yourself. And
so you think.
Yeah, exactly. But it was great for me as well. And I think as well, because it was 79 and hip hop was just starting, and that gave me a focus. And, you know, I was completely obsessed with hip hop. And I worked in record shops and met Dave Schramm. And, you know, that kind of started off on a lot of relationships that are still very kind of central to me now.
Yeah.
So.
And I love the story, too, or reading about how your parents listen to totally separate kind of
very much,
things. But yet the radio was kind of something that you could listen to, and when you were growing up, turn it on, and everything was free right there for you, and everything you loved.
Mm. Well, I mean, you know, you couldn't segregate the airwaves. It was the one place that was a sort of judgment-free zone at that time. You know, there just wasn't that sense of kind of prescriptive playlists and things, you know. So you could listen on a local radio station, you'd get Al Green followed by Van Morrison, followed by Dylan, followed by the Staple Singers, you know, and it was just all, it was considered a pop music, you know, format, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then, you know, a slight turn of the dial got you George Jones and Merle Haggard and all that sort of thing, you know. And then in the evenings, particularly I used to listen to KCMO out of Kansas City, that station used to turn into an R&B station on Fridays and Saturdays, you know, from 10 o'clock. So like 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock was the go show, which was like up-tempo soul. And then 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock was the flow show, which was mid-tempo kind of request show. And then 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock was the slow show.
Oh, we're getting some ideas here,
exactly,
guys.
Exactly, which was all the kind of Quiet Storm stuff. But, you know, so you know, that all those things seemed to make sense in some way. They didn't seem to be ghettoized or compartmentalized off, you know, that they all kind of mixed up together.
And then when you heard hip-hop for the first time, you were kind of amazed by that, too, because it was totally completely different.
Well, yeah. I had two kind of great revelations within years of each other. Is that living in Texas, I was surrounded by music I hated. You know, I mean, there was lots of music I liked as well. Don't, you know, get me wrong, but I was surrounded, really, people forget that the dominant music in 1976 in Texas was kind of good time butt rock and bar bands, you know, and Skynyrd. I mean, when Skynyrd's plane went down, my school flew the flag at half mast for 2 days. You know, I mean, and that, you know, that
serious
was that,
business.
That was the cultural dominant, you know, that was Southern rock, you know, and I hated it with a passion. So when I heard the Pistols for the first time, you know, in Texas, that was, it's still to this day the single most life-changing thing, you know, when I sat up and I just thought, oh, God, yeah, it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be this. It can be something completely other to this, you know. Mm-hmm. And also the great thing about the Pistols was it didn't sound to me like the beginning of anything. It sounded like the end of something. You know, I wasn't interested in being a punk. I was just interested in wiping out any vestiges of white rock. You know, I just thought, great, we don't have to listen to that ever again. So then I got to New York and thought, this is hip-hop, which was the kind of black equivalent. You know, it was the black punk rock. It was like do-it-yourself, completely new, and it was so exciting. I mean, it's just unbelievably exciting, you know, the first time you heard hip-hop, you know.
Jeb Loy Nichols, he's our guest this afternoon, and he's going to play a couple more live for us today. Mm. And what's this next one you're going to do for us?
Well, this is one you asked for. I haven't done this for a long time, but it's nice to do. It's called As the Rain. It's from the first solo record. It was raining this morning, Lord, it was raining this morning. It was raining this morning, I feel as low and lonely as a rain. Just yesterday, wind came blowing the streets of this old town, and it blew it blew away. This here brand new love that I found. And it was raining, raining this morning. Lord, it was raining, raining this morning. It was raining, raining this morning. And I feel as alone and lonely as the rain. There's no roof that can keep away these rain, rain drops. And there's no four walls to keep away, to keep away the cold. There's no way that I can walk around streets of this old town without a hand, without a hand to hold. And it was raining, raining this morning. Lord, it was raining, raining, raining down this morning. It was raining, raining this morning. And I feel as low and lonely as a rain. I look to the east and look to the west. Look to the ground beneath your feet and look to skies. Look to skies above. There ain't nothing in this land that you will ever understand. There ain't nothing you're ever gonna be sure of. 'Cause it was raining, raining this morning. Yes, it was raining, raining this morning. It was raining, raining, raining down this morning. And I feel as low and lonely as a rain. I feel as low and lonely as the rain.
Thank you so much for playing that. As the Rain, it's Jeb Loy Nichols live from Studio A. And again, it's art and music tonight at Lindsay Gallery from 6 until 9 with Jeb Loy Nichols. And then tomorrow night at the Rumba Cafe. And that's going to be with the Black Swans. And we were talking before the session about a video with that. And how you tell the story, I'm like, what? How can that be?
Well, we did make a video for As the Rain when I was on Capitol. And I thought it was a good piece of work. Yeah. Jerry from Black Swans came down and Dan Dow, a lot of local luminaries came down and were in it. It was directed by the very fine photographer, Michael Wilson. And I thought it all went well. We took it, you know, proudly back. My dad came and he's in it. My dad comes and introduces me in it. And we proudly took it back to Capitol and played it for them. And very, very long silence followed the viewing of the video. And then a woman said, "That's the worst video I have ever seen in my entire life."
Who says that, though? Like, right after it happened, well, why put it out there?
I have to say, it was one of the few moments of, you know, moments of honesty, of very, you know, severe honesty from a major label are few and far between. So in that way, I suppose it was a good thing.
But, what was your response?
Well, I said, yeah, well, cheers. At least I'm number one on the worst list, you know.
Yes. And actually, we posted that on our Facebook page. You could check that out there. And Jerry's in that video, and he said, you know, some good hair going on back then, huh?
Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
And Austin, you're headed, going to be at the South by Southwest.
I am.
And a couple, or no, that's next week.
It is.
Yeah, coming up next week. And your art's going to be at the Yard Dog Gallery,
that's
too.
Right,
a very cool gallery that they
that's
have in
right,
Austin.
Yeah. No, it's good. I'm excited. I'm pleased. It's nice to be able to go to South by Southwest and not be a musician.
So you're not?
Well, I am going to play, like tonight, at the gallery.
Okay,
I'm going to do
very
a gig
cool.
at Yard Dogs. But it's nice, not to go down there with the pressure of having to do gigs and things. I can just go down and hang out with my brother and sort of stay away from the music.
Does your brother live there?
He does.
Oh, very nice. And was he living there when you were living there too? Or did
we all live there. We moved there. I grew up in Missouri, and then we moved there in about 1975. So I lived there I went to high school there.
Okay. And now you've been in Wales for some time.
I have.
Moved around and have a farm there. And Also, will you describe the farm where you live?
It's a very bleak, very barren place. But I mean, I like it. It's a strange place. We have a very small place, and it's all organic farming. And last year, I planted 2,000 trees. We got a nice little woodland, hopefully, going. It's a very, very remote. I don't have a near neighbor for a couple of miles.
Wow.
And it's a very forgotten part of the UK, Wales in general, and Mid Wales the most.
Yeah.
So it's very empty, but it's very beautiful, incredibly beautiful place. You know.
So. Now, what drew you there? Were you traveling as a musician then, or
no? I had made a little bit of money through no fault of my own, and we wanted to leave London. We were living in London, my wife and I, and the only place we could afford was Wales. So it was our, you know, our ambition to be poor, and we thought that's a good place to do it.
There you go.
Wales. So we went there, and but as I say, I mean, really, it was a very beautiful place, and that's really why we went there.
And recording this latest album, mm-hmm. Was that near your home?
No, we actually did the album in London.
Okay.
We did it in London in a all analog onto tape with a band called Nostalgia 77 who live in London. So yeah,
and kind of that raw take, just a couple takes.
Yeah, exactly. Everything was done, you know, very quickly. Very, you know, we didn't think too much about it in terms of actual production. We did a lot of pre-production, tried to figure out exactly what songs we wanted to do. But in terms of actually doing it, we wanted, because they're a jazz band, you know, so it's very much that thing of what it is to be in that room right then at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, we can't thank you enough. Jerry, thanks for giving him a lift over here, huh? Thank you for being here.
And thank you very much. Yeah.
Congratulations on all your successes.
There's a song really about going to these little parties in Mid Wales that we go to, and you know, people be playing Fela Kuti, they'd be playing hip hop, they'd be playing all this good stuff, and you think the only thing missing from this good night is some Charlie Rich. Last night there was a full moon. I was down at a dance in a full room. DJ was playing big tunes, and every room in the place was just boom, 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 boom. And the records were jumping, and the bass was thumping, and people, let me tell you something. Well, it must have been about 4:30, and I was out on a dance floor. All of a sudden, the DJ dropped an old country tune, and the place just stopped. And everybody was just standing around, wondering what was going down. I said, that's country music, it's disco 45. Country music, disco 45. It's country music, and it's disco 45. That's country music, disco 45 now. I said, hey, Mr. DJ, won't you let that country music play some Charlie Rich, some Bill Monroe, play some Merle Haggard, play some old George Jones. I said, people, won't you follow me? This is a new country style, you see. It just comes, stretch out your arms like an aeroplane, bark like a dog, and you shuffle like a train. Roll like the wind, and a scoot like a rooster. You skip around the room like you used to. It's country music, it's disco 45. It's country music, disco 45. A little country music, a little disco 45. Country music, a disco 45. disco 45. Country music, disco 45. Country music, it's disco 45. Country music, disco 45.